Yes. Hello, my friends, and welcome to this, another edition of the Underdog Football Show. My name is Josh Norris. His name, Hayden Winks. We're still on the road. Hayden, you know, we've talked about this. Thanksgiving, an incredible time of the year. Get families together. I personally love pumpkin pie, but most importantly, it's those three game slates, those tiny little microcosms of an NFL weekend that allows us to dive into players that have been irrelevant all season long and the little tiny details to hopefully allow you to have a bit more fun on Turkey Day. How you doing, man?
Good. Nothing better than spending all Thanksgiving worried about your late swaps and all of that stuff for DFS. Yeah, it's a good stuff. It's the best. Even when the games are bad, it's still the best.
Couple things. This is not going to be a full week 12, you know, breakdown for game previews. What we're going to do instead on Sunday morning, you know, our typical show with Animal starts at 10 a.m. Eastern on this very channel. I'll hop on at 11. Maybe Hayden hops on a little bit earlier. And for that hour and a half, 2 hours, all the way leading up to kickoff, we're going to answer all of your start sits. We are going to go through just about every single game and everything that you care about. So while it's a bit delayed, you know, more than usual, we're still going to have you covered ahead of all those important games. But talk about importance here, Hayden. On Underdog Fantasy, we've got some amazing games, three different contests. One includes all of the three games on Thanksgiving, and then two others, the 4 o'clock and then the 8:20 game as well. Anything you want to say about that before we start diving into the individual players and matchups?
Yeah, just like all the other DFS tournaments out there, it's all about correlation. It's all about finding the low rostered guy. And yeah, you're just trading off projected points for correlation, really. So it's biggest tip for me is because you're drafting, it's a snake draft. Make sure you have the draft board open so you see what the people also need in your draft. If you are last to draft your quarterback, then don't draft one in the third round. Wait until the very last round because no one else can be drafting another quarterback. So these little minor things. That's like the biggest wrinkle on Underdog versus everywhere else.
I should have ran this by Liz before we got started, but I think I'm allowed to say the big news here, Hayden, that it's not just for new depositors, but everyone out there, we are doing a deposit match. So anything up to $100, whatever you put into Underdog, boom, it gets matched. So if you put in 10 bucks, you get another $10 out of Hayden's pocket. It's 20, 59, whatever you want to do. We're only doing this for a limited period of time. So go and get on it right now. It's our treat to all of you. Okay, so instead of going in chronological order, starting with the early game at 12:30, we are going to start with the important games. The Buffalo Bills, the New Orleans Saints. Bills favored by 6 points on the road, 45 and a half total. Yes, we know the Bills are coming off an awful loss against the Indianapolis Colts, but they are still 6-4, and the Saints are in a bit of a tailspin at 5-5. We broke it down on the Usage Show, which all of you can find on this channel. Hopefully you're subscribed. That really the Eagles had a tremendous game plan against a Saints defense last week. A Saints defense that has honestly, Hayden, really fallen off a cliff in the last few weeks, at least since week 8. So much of that was in the running game, Eagles strength, and 11 personnel. How do you think if the Bills offense is going to get back on track here, Hayden, it's going to be successful against the Saints this week?
Well, I think that stylistically, the thing that's been giving the Bills problem is just soft zone defenses, too high defenses, same thing with the Chiefs. The good news is the Saints, historically, and this year as well, are a man coverage team. They're actually second in man coverage rate per Sports Info Solutions. And then when they're in man coverage, because they lost so much depth, and like Marshawn Lattimore is more of like a boom bust type of corner, they're actually 25th in success rate in man coverage. So they could go to some zone coverage here, but primarily this is a man coverage defense, and they're actually leading the NFL in cover two man, and I think that's what you're going to see a lot. So it's just going to be kind of dependent on how well could Steph Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, and Dawson Knox get open. I don't think that like the historical struggles for the Bills this year are going to be as much of a factor as they were against some of these other defenses recently.
Love that. Mentioned how, you know, on a downward turn the Saints defense has been. No defense has allowed more fantasy points to the quarterback position over the last 4 weeks than the Saints. I mean, Josh Allen has 20 plus fantasy points in 6 games a season. Only Jalen Hurts, obviously, who had more in that span of time. talked about that 11 personnel rushing usage. I think it's so different. It's not just like, hey, everyone's going to do this exact same thing to what the Saints, what they were, you know, giving up so many points and production and yardage last week. That the personnel that the Eagles have fits so perfectly with that. And I bet we see them do that to other people. But just from a personnel grouping, the Bills have run 56% of the time, 56% of their carries, I should say, have come out of 11 personnel. But again, it's so different when like Josh Allen is your quarterback compared to Jalen Hurts, when Zach Moss or Devin Singletary, even Matt Breida is your running back versus Miles Sanders, and the offensive line differences as well. So I don't think that this is like a blueprint that other teams are going to be able to replicate. But I bet we do see a good portion of that, because on some level, the Bills' offensive weapons and their roster is at their best when they are spread out. And especially Dawson Knox, you can go from inline to out wide and change things that way as well.
Yeah, what the Eagles did last week is just like literally the exact opposite of what the Bills do offensively. Like literally could not be different. We're talking about dead last in neutral pass rate to number one in neutral pass rate. And just like we always say, like the Bills can't run the ball. And that's because they're running backs. It's because the way Josh Allen plays, and it's not to their strength. So I think this game, obviously, Steph Diggs is the best wide receiver on the slate. He has a 41% target share against man coverage this year, and he has a 2.7 yards per route run. That's pretty good. That's like near the elite category, and that's been in a down year for Steph Diggs compared to last year. So I think Steph Diggs is the number one wide receiver on the slate. I think he's going to match up with Marshawn Lattimore, but Marshawn Lattimore is a good corner. He's not an elite corner. And the other person, when we always debate Emmanuel Sanders versus Cole Beasley, to me, this is an advantage. Emmanuel Sanders, 1.7 yards per route run versus man coverage. Cole Beasley is down under 1 yard per route run versus man coverage. The good news for Cole Beasley, though, at least, is he went limited, full practice this week. Previously, he was going DNP, limited, and that's why he wasn't playing as many snaps. I think finally he's getting healthy. This is like the first time he's had a full practice in a while. So he's going to be out there. I think you're probably going to see a little bit less of Isaiah McKenzie and Gabe Davis and the like six offensive linemen. It should be those three. But I think just the way that they win, this is advantage Emmanuel Sanders, who's absolutely tanked in usage.
Yeah.
But I think that's because where he wins downfield is what opposing defenses were taking away. But I think that against a man-heavy defense, his speed and kind of win downfield. Plus, it's a little bit of a revenge game, too.
I went back and watched a lot of that Eagles performance, and Devontae Smith was winning on extended routes against Marshawn Lattimore. Like, the Eagles' offensive line bought Jalen Hurts so much time, and he was staying in the pocket about 50% of the time and exiting it about 50% the rest. And we know Josh Allen loves his extended plays. And so Stephon Diggs one-on-one there, that absolutely does not scare me as well. Yeah, just a couple things here. I mean, the Saints defense has jumped from allowing 36% of opponents' red zone opportunities to be scored into touchdowns. That's gone up to 56% in these last four games. Passer rating is all the way up. Points have jumped from 17 to almost 30 points per game. Love this as a bounce back spot for the Bills. Okay, before we get into like our favorite player from this single game and maybe one that is flying under the radar a little bit, we also need to talk about the Saints offense, right? Saints offense that is going through a lot of issues and injuries. We know about Teron Armstead at left tackle. We know about Brian Ramczyk at right tackle. We know about Alvin Kamara, and Nick Underhill is pointing out that even Mark Ingram was not at the open portion of practice here on Monday. What has stood out to me, Hayden, about the Saints team is the jump in passing attempts for Trevor Siemian under center, 38 per game versus what Jameis Winston was doing at 25 per game. Any reason why you can wrap your head around that?
They've been losing, and Trevor Siemian, when he throws the ball, he averages like 5 or 6 yards per attempt, and Jameis was actually kind of efficient. That's been like the primary difference. Jameis wants to throw it deep and over the middle. Trevor Siemian wants to just check it down underneath. Lots of injury news. I think the big one to keep in mind, I don't think Alvin Kamara is going to play. He hasn't practiced in a while. Right. Mark Ingram at least was limited on Monday, then went to DNP. But I think it was a DNP at a walkthrough, so I'm kind of curious to see what happens today. I would say that he's closer to playing than Alvin Kamara. If both of them are out, then it's Tony Jones' time. And I think that he would be one of the the best, like the top five, top six running back on this slate, more of a RB2 flex type in your redraft leagues. But I think that if Mark Ingram's out there and we get some positive news here, I think that he has locked in himself as a top 15 running back, one of the best running backs on this slate as well. The big thing, though, is the Saints are projected for only 19.5 points. That is tied with the freaking Lions.
Yeah.
So we got to keep the expectations a little low. Hopefully they get Teron Armstead back. He's been limited, but it sounds like Ryan Ramczyk's going to be out still.
Yeah, you know me. I'm still in on this Bills defense, and I mean they just got run over by Jonathan Taylor last week. I think Carson Wentz had 110 passing yards. They gave up five touchdowns, as we noted, to Jonathan Taylor, but the rest of the season only five other touchdowns to running backs all season long. One thing stood out to me here. Each of the Bills' last 14 wins have been by 10-plus points, Aiden. They are not playing close games that they win. That's the longest streak since the greatest show on turf, the then St. Louis Rams. So if you think the Bills are going to win this, as we open, the spread is only six. Betting the Bills on that side of the equation makes a lot of sense. And it does just, I mean, one from, you know, who they played and how they've lost when they've just got, you know, overrun last week. But six to cover for the Bills with how much firepower they have versus, you know, what the Saints are bringing in backups to backups at pivotal positions that make up the identity of their team and how their defense has taken a downturn. The Bills' end of that equation makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, Saints DN Marcus Davenport hasn't practiced this week as right. well, so that'd be another huge loss. Curious on your thoughts with Taysom Hill. Is there any chance we see either Taysom Hill straight up starting or we see a quarterback switch pretty early? If there's no Kamara or Ingram and you're just dealing with Traquan, Marquez Callaway on the outside, Deontay Harris kind of as just like your scheme touches guy.
Yeah.
No Adam Trautman is going to be now like Juwan Johnson, like all these secondary pieces. I wonder if all of that, he says, Sean Payton, that is, screw it. We're going to the Taysom Hill stuff early and often. I don't think that matters too much for us on like the Battle Royale side because it's only for four-person drafts. So you don't have to deep down to the Taysom Hill stuff. But for props and all that type of stuff, Taysom Hill is kind of interesting to me just because I feel like eventually he's going to hit the panic button. And I think after a couple of losses and how Trevor Siemian played last week, I can easily see that being the little Thanksgiving surprise for us.
Well, and his contract announcement this week.
Yep.
We got to throw in that little narrative as well. It makes sense. I mean, Trevor Siemian, while he's had a game of over 400 passing yards this year, you just watch him. There's nothing special or spectacular. And again, how this roster was built, they have none of these pieces. You know, they went into the season knowing that their wide receiver situation was going to be abysmal until Michael Thomas came back. And then Michael Thomas is never coming back. Right. And so at least with Jameis, you had someone that was taking a lot of layups and not having a ton of opportunities. But then when a deep shot to Marquez Callaway or Traquan Smith or whoever else, and I know Traquan's usage is going up, but this is just not where this team wanted to be in this instance. And because of that, it's so difficult for me to bet on them against a defense that still believe in them, especially in a weaker, less talented opposition versus what they faced last year. And yes, I understand that like last week's game is the last thing on everyone's mind, but this is the best the Colts are at. This is the worst that the Saints are at all season long. And that story that we're painting there to me makes all the difference when comparing the two teams.
Do you have any Saints tight end takes? Troutman's out. It's well, I mean, we got to talk about this. So we're digging for the last little pieces. It comes down to Nick Vinette, who's the blocking more like the one for one replacement, or do they get crazy and go to Juwan Johnson,
right?
Who's more of that slot wide receiver type that can win kind of over the middle of the field. I think it's going to be a combination of both. You can't have Juwan Johnson out there for 80% of the snaps. That is not how the NFL works. But if you're just talking about like raw touchdown projections and just receptions and the chance of air yards, I would argue that Juwan Johnson has a higher ceiling
for sure,
but it's, we'll have to follow an active report. He can easily be healthy scratched. So I think that he's definitely a name to keep in mind in like the deepest of player props and DFS and all that stuff. I think that he's at least worth bringing up just because his like profile, yards per out run, just athleticism, all that type of stuff kind of is kind of like a Ricky Seals-Jones type where in theory he could kind of pay off.
Yeah, and I would say the difference in that is Ricky Seals-Jones with Washington this year was out there for like 100% of the snaps. Yeah. And obviously Juwan Johnson, and he's a jump ball contested catch tight end. So much of his production this year in the end zone has been just, you know, boxing out and going up and getting the football. So like of the two tight ends, who was more likely to catch a touchdown? Juwan Johnson. Makes a lot of sense. Have we said enough about Tony Jones? Andrew in the chat, who's always here, appreciate you. Andrew, is he actually worth starting again? We always get excited about backups. This would be the backup to the backup that also just came off injured reserve. Personally, I understand that like this team has run the ball all season long, but not having two most likely of your top offensive linemen against a Bills defense. Again, I know what they put out last week, but this is such a different matchup for them. He's not worth starting for me, and I should have just led off with that statement.
I think he's a flex play for sure, just because they have no other options. He's going to catch some passes out of the screen game. I think that's like Ty Montgomery, who like broke his hand or broke his finger or something. I saw that the other day. They just don't have enough bodies back there, and he's been the person that's been in the mix the entire season.
Yeah.
So I think that he's still a flex play, but yeah, like we said at the top, 19.5 projected points for the Saints this week, and I'm not sure if that's going to go down if Mark Ingram gets actually scratched.
Okay, so how we're going to wrap up each of these games is talk about it in the lens of a Battle Royale this weekend, and maybe I'll pull up some pick'em lines as well. The Battle Royale, the turkey, includes all three of the games. It's six. You have six players on your team, just four people and three that you're competing against, so four people in every quote-unquote league. You need one quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers, one flex, and then one tight end. So, Hayden, who, if there is one name from this in the Bills and the Saints, who is the one everyone should be targeting in their draft this weekend? Well, this week.
Well, I think that it should be like a Josh Allen, Emmanuel Sanders stack for this Love game that. To me. I think the Emmanuel Sanders is like kind of the key to me for like one of the last round picks, knock out that wide receiver spot, get some correlation. The Saints stuff, I'll just be following whoever is the running back, and I'll probably be aiming for them. But the wide receivers, like I have on my Thanksgiving rankings, I have Tre'Quan Smith ranked as my wide receiver 9, 29th overall, and then Marquez Callaway, wide receiver 10, 30th overall. But you only have to draft 24 players, so they're like only in options if you want to like run it back in like Josh Allen stacks. To me, it's just pretty easy. Give me Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the pick'em lines too. Emmanuel Sanders, 44.5 receiving yards. Cole Beasley at 40.5 receiving yards. That's all in line with like Dawson Knox too, is at 37.5. It makes sense that Stephon Diggs is way up there at 83.5. And it also, if you think that where the Saints got run over last week, if you think that does translate over into the rushing attack for the Bills, we personally don't, but these lines are minuscule. 23.5 rushing yards for Zach Moss, 23.5 rushing yards for Devin Singletary as well.
I like Devin Singletary out of the Bills groups. He started. He's the one that has the most like receiving equity. Zach Moss is still going to mess around near the goal line, but I don't know. The Bills seem a little bit more desperate now, where I think that they're going to have no choice but to run Josh Allen more, just because the offense isn't as good. Like they don't want to run him, but I think now that the offense isn't clicking as much, here comes Josh Allen with a bunch of carries.
Okay. You think we've covered that one good enough? We should move on.
That works.
All right. Let's jump to the 4:30 game. That is the Las Vegas Raiders against the Dallas Cowboys. Total of 50.5, the highest of the three games. We know Vegas is at 5-5, like a bit of a losing streak. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites here. They're 7-3. The Raiders have scored fewer than 17 points in each of the five losses this season, 26-plus points in each of their five wins. But let's focus on the Cowboys, because there's so much going on here. And Hayden, I want to bring up that we saw Michael Gallup back, but he might be having some of his friends returning as well. And Tyron Smith at left tackle. And it's, by all reports, if CeeDee Lamb gets through a practice here on Tuesday, he will be active on Thanksgiving as well.
You basically never see concussions and then being able to play on the Thursday. So I'm still a little bit skeptical, but all reports and the Cowboys are super optimistic. He still has to go through the last couple steps of the protocol, but he at least has a chance of playing. And that makes it pretty interesting for Battle Royale, just where to rank him, because on Underdog, if you draft CeeDee Lamb, you don't get a zero if he doesn't play. We actually auto swap for the highest player that went undrafted. previously. So you can still be aggressive with CeeDee Lamb in Battle Royale. I would guess that he's pretty close to 50-50 to playing after going DNP. DNP seems like he'll be limited today. But I think like the bigger news just for the Cowboys in general is actually Tyron Smith coming back. The Cowboys this year are averaging 1.4 more yards per dropback and 1.3 more yards per carry whenever Tyron Smith is on the field. So that to me was the he's kind of the straw that mixes the drink. And I think that he's a massive win for both Zeke and the passing game. I think that was been the biggest problem last week was Chris Jones going absolutely berserk because the offensive line couldn't block. And I think Tyron Smith getting back is a massive, massive win for the Cowboys.
Yeah. And the other side of that too, it sounds like DeMarcus Lawrence was activated off injured reserve. And that allows Michael Parsons to be, you know, that multi-tool player. And yeah, sure, he's, you know, their best pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, that's been down for a very long time. But not just having your best linebacker also be your best pass rusher, this allows for that defense to improve as well. With Amari Cooper out, because of course he's going to be out on the COVID list, Dak does throw for 85 fewer yards on average with out Amari Cooper. Now, part of that was, you know, without CeeDee Lamb on the roster. So really what Vegas is, it's been two drastically different weeks for them, hasn't it, Hayden? Like a couple weeks ago, they got absolutely smashed. They didn't change their defense at all. And then this past weekend, they did quite well. They, you know, limited the opposition's passing game. We've seen, you know, we were talking about this before we hit record. With the Cowboys, they had obviously the week one tight loss to the Bucs. They had, in my opinion, a complete throwaway game against the Denver Broncos where they were missing wide open throws. And then last week they got beat by the Chiefs, which should not be held against them. In the grand scheme of things, a very good team. And they were also missing wide open throws. And then like in every other game this season, Hayden, they've been outstanding. They've been balanced. They've been one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL that can beat you in every which way. I lean more, and this is maybe unfair to say, but this is just my stance on them. I lean more to who they show in wins and in that first loss to the Bucs versus everything and the other two losses in between.
Yeah. When Tyron Smith's not out there, I don't really care. Like it's as simple as that. These splits have gone for years whenever Tyron Smith has been out of the lineup. So the big thing with CeeDee Lamb is obviously you're playing him if he's in the lineup. If he's out of the lineup, what is the wide receiver rotation go to? Last week in the second half of the game after he left, the targets went Cedric Wilson got 7, Zeke got 4, Gallup got 3, Dalton Schultz got 3, and then Malik Turner got 2 of them. The person that's just also in the mix is Noah Brown, who's that really stocky outside receiver. He's had 0.45 yards per route run over the last two games. To me, he's out there to block. So you can play him if you're desperate, but I don't think that he's the option. The problem is it going to be CeeDee Lamb on the outside, Michael Gallup on the outside, and then Cedric Wilson as a slot player? He's an 84% slot player. Or do they put CeeDee Lamb in the slot and then have Noah Brown out there, and then Cedric Wilson is kind of squeezed between? So these are like the little things. I think ultimately it's going to be Cedric Wilson in the slot, Gallup, and then CeeDee Lamb on the outside. And if that's the case, I don't really have much interest from Cedric Wilson because he's just been really bad. And I have interest if CeeDee Lamb's out, but I think that this team can kind of run the ball on the Raiders a little bit. And if that happens, there's only so many balls to go around. I don't want to like start trying to jam in Cedric Wilson if CeeDee Lamb's out there.
Yeah, if you eliminate week one, when Michael Gallup did play a full complement of snaps, basically, and they had all three of their top wide receivers. Ever since then, it hasn't been the case for them. And Dallas has been in 11 personnel 61% of the time, 12 personnel 28% of the time. But we have also seen, you know, them lean heavily into 12 personnel when it was Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. But in the last few weeks, they certainly seem to love Sean McKeon and other players who can fill in that second tight end role. I just think that like they aren't changing that. Like they're going to go back and forth. So to me, as you are saying, if CD is healthy, it's going to be those two wide receivers that are most dependable. But we've also seen Cedric Wilson make big plays down the field. And hopefully that the like awful performance that he put in the field last week gets much closer to what he has shown throughout other times this season too.
So, yeah.
Okay. when you talk about the Raiders, and then again, we're going to hit a headline player and then one that might be overlooked for this single game as well. On the Raiders end, you brought this up, Hayden. They're not doing so hot lately. And so much of it is the change in offense since Henry Ruggs has been cut from the team and his career is over. They just don't have a vertical player. And they tried, and so far have tried to make DeSean Jackson that, but it's so much more difficult versus a first-round talent that he's hoping to fill that. And so we've seen Josh Jacobs be using like the passing game a little bit more. Darren Waller's had a couple of spiked weeks, but other than that, not so much. If they are going to be successful, how are the Raiders going to be successful?
So Derek Carr's ADOT's dropped about 2 or 3 yards since Henry Ruggs been released. And since then, they've been running out Zay Jones and Bryan Edwards on the outside and DeSean Jackson just for a couple snaps. Very curious to see if they get DeSean Jackson out there a little bit more because this team needs speed. Like Bryan Edwards maybe can turn into like a number three starting receiver who can be a kind of jump ball specialist, but he's not going to threaten you vertically too much. Zay Jones has always been a backup. And because of that, they can't throw the ball downfield. And when I rewatched the game from last week against the Bengals, not a great defense, a very average defense at best. This offense just kind of turned into option routes with Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs. And if you look since Henry Ruggs has been released, the targets have gone 26 to Darren Waller, 22 to Hunter Renfrow, 16 to Josh Jacobs, and 13 to Kenyon Drake. So that's a tight end, a slot receiver, and two running backs as the top target getters. And the other guys aren't doing a single thing. So it's a very limited offense until they can stretch the ball. So very curious to see if DeSean Jackson becomes a bigger priority. But I think that ultimately he's just going to be a low volume guy. And their best downfield threat is going to be seam shots to Darren Waller. So I think it's going to be another huge Darren Waller game by default. And then they just got to hope that some of these option routes to Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs start turning into yards. Because recently, they've been very, very low yardage type of plays.
Just looking at the pick'em lobby, it's actually hilarious looking at the Raiders because you have Hunter Renfrow at 52.5 receiving yards over under, along with 5.5 receptions. Darren Waller at 69.5. And then you look at DeSean Jackson's. It's 4.5 total yards. That's rushing or receiving. Yeah, I had the same exact reaction when I saw that because one catch gets you home with DeSean Jackson or even one rush. And he had one rush last week too. So
I'll take the over on that.
I'll take the over on 4.5 as well. I mean, if the Raiders are going to put up any points, he has to be involved. He has to be involved.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Headliner, because the Cowboys have so many. If you think that they are going to dominate on the run and dominate in the ground, we've seen Ezekiel Elliott get home. And heck, if he gets home, even Tony Pollard can get home there, especially with Tyron Smith hopefully coming back in this one. Or you go for the big plays and CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup down the field? Or is it just saying, hey, the root of it is Dak Prescott? I'm just basically assuming you're not going to pick a Raider here for our go-to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Michael Gallup in either scenario. Even if CeeDee Lamb's out there, he still ran around on 94% of dropbacks. He had 14 expected half PPR points last week. And I think that the matchup is totally fine for him on the outside. And there's going to be some opportunities for some big plays, and the Cowboys by far are projected for the most points on the slate, up to 29.25 points. The Bills down to 26 points, and then everyone else is under 23. So this is obviously the team to be stacking. I think that last week's Dak performance could be thrown out the window. I think that Zeke, now that he practiced in full on Tuesday, we shouldn't really expect his role to really change. And he's been averaging 15.3 half PPR points on the season. I think that he's a mid-range RB1 now that he's practiced in full. He said he's battling through a knee injury, but I bet if you asked every single running back in the NFL who gets as much work as him, they would also say they're battling a little injury. So the fact that he's full is enough for me to trust him keeping his same elite workload.
Yeah, I mean, touchdown props are always difficult, but this one just has over under a half rushing touchdown for Ezekiel Elliott. So if he gets in the end zone, as I fall into darkness, if he gets in the end zone, I'm battling this, if you cannot tell, Hayden, then obviously you win that pick of mine. Okay. Do we have an undervalued one? Did we hit on that?
Undervalued play.
Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, I think he's going to be very chalky, though, just in general. Okay. If no CeeDee Lamb, then Cedric Wilson, sure. I think undervalued, maybe it's Tony Pollard. Maybe they just get him going a little bit more, too. Yeah, yeah, he's looked good.
Tony Pollard is going as the running back 6 in the 3-game battle royale over an underdog fantasy. So I like that. I mean, that's after Josh Jacobs, that's after David Montgomery, that's after Mark Ingram, and only ahead of names like Kenyon Drake and Devin Singletary. So
we're definitely worth the upside with Tony Pollard there. Yep. If the setback was Zeke Elliott, then obviously got a smash.
Yep. Love that. Okay. Let's close out with the final game and then get out of here. Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, 12:30 this one is. 3-7 Chicago are 3-point favorites against the winless Detroit Lions. And yes, we saved the best for last, Hayden. Andy Dalton versus Jared Goff. Darnell Mooney versus Josh Reynolds or Khalif Raymond. Maybe we'll get into that in a moment. And a good running back matchup. Dave Montgomery versus DeAndre Swift. Maybe let's start off with the Bears end of this, because it at least would have had some intrigue here if Justin Fields was starting, but the Bears basically ruled him out on Monday. That means we turn to Andy Dalton. We saw, again, Darnell Mooney last week have, 15 targets? We've seen David Montgomery have 95% of the snaps. If their offensive line can do a good enough job against the worst defense that we've seen in quite some time, the Detroit Lions, then somehow, despite their projected total, we could see a good number of points, hopefully, from the Chicago Bears, but I'm not betting on it.
Well, the Bears are projected for more points than the Raiders, the Lions, and the Saints this game. And they're actually just as close to the Bills projection as they are to the Saints and Lions projection right in the middle there. So I would say one of my bolder takes, I'd guess, would be David Montgomery over DeAndre Swift for this matchup. They're projected for more points. There is not a second running back that we have to worry about with David Montgomery. He played 95% of the snaps. The Lions defense is worse than the Bears defense. So I actually like David Montgomery a whole lot. I think that he would be a major priority for me in DFS, Battle Royale, all that type of stuff. I think it's a great matchup, and I think that he was kind of stifled last game, but I think that the usage and all the other underlying stats should be much better. And I'm not sure how much I agree with this, but I know that I was listening to some professional bettors, and they were saying that Andy Dalton is worth more to the spread than Justin Fields. So we root for Justin Fields because we want to see him develop, and we think that the long-term ceiling is worth getting him out there. But I think there's a valid argument that Andy Dalton could be a little bit better for the team right now, and I think that he's just going to distribute the ball to his guys, Darnell Mooney and David Montgomery.
Your bold take of David Montgomery potentially being a higher score than DeAndre Swift, he's being drafted as the running back 3 in the Battle Royale. DeAndre Swift is being drafted as the running back 1. Swift's production has been a bit different over the last few weeks, where some of it is coming in like a neutral game perspective in the running game, because so often, like, felt like for the first 8 weeks of the season, it was all in the passing game. And I don't think like this spread or this difference between the team will, you know, be beneficial for a Lions garbage time scenario where they go on like down by 21 or 23 or 18 and then put, you know, production in there in the second half, the third quarter, and all the way in the fourth quarter. It should be much closer than that. So while I would have been more nervous for DeAndre Swift to get there in the past, I think he does have a better avenue than maybe I was getting credit for earlier in the season.
So with DeAndre Swift, usage-wise, it's all totally fine. Last week, 20 of 25 routes. He had 14 of the 21 carries. He had all the third and fourth down opportunities, even with Jamal Williams back. Now, Jamal Williams has another couple of days to get healthier, so maybe he eats into that a little bit more. Maybe Jared Goff being back kind of shakes things up. But the Bears defense, we have to talk about the Bears defense, and this isn't just for this week, but long-term. Because they just put Khalil Mack on season-ending reserve. Akeem Hicks isn't practicing. Eddie Jackson is limited. He hasn't practiced or played in a couple weeks. He could easily miss this game. And since week 8, when Khalil Mack stopped playing, the Bears are now 29th in EPA per play, 29th in EPA per dropback, and 27th in EPA per carry. And historically, if you look at Akeem Hicks on-off splits, they're absolutely drastic against the run. So That David Montgomery stance was more pro Montgomery than it is anti Swift. I like both of them. The matchup against the Bears defense is much cleaner than it was earlier on the season when the Bears defense was playing well. They just simply just do not have enough good players up front right now. And I think that's going to start biting the Bears down the stretch.
Tight end can always be a nightmare, especially when you talk about like a, you know, four-person battle royale like the Turkey is. TJ Hockenson is being drafted as the third tight end behind Darren Waller, behind Dalton Schultz. I mean, we saw early season volume be there, Hayden. Then against the Eagles, you know, he had 11 targets, then one against the Steelers, then bounced back with eight targets against the Cleveland Browns. At wide receiver, it's, you know, Cleve Raymond has had his weeks. Now Josh Reynolds seems like he's running the most snaps of that wide receiver group. It just makes me want to lean TJ Hockenson to whoever, like, the extent that is possible.
Yeah, Hockenson, he catches a lot of bullets. He still has at least four receptions and 40 yards in seven of the 10 games. And that's like very rare floor, like a pretty high floor. I mean, he had the one crazy game where he wasn't targeted at all, but for the most part, he's a walking eight PPR points. The problem for Hockenson is his last red zone catch was in week two. I mean, that is absurd. And that wasn't even, I'm not even sure if that was a touchdown. That was just a red zone catch. So it's a floor versus ceiling play. I always think that Hockenson still projects pretty well. He's tight end eight in fantasy usage and fantasy points on the year. And I think that if there's no CeeDee Lamb, I would for sure have Dalton Schultz above Hockenson. But if CeeDee Lamb is out there, I think that is certainly a toss up. I think if I was just for Battle Royale, I think that in non-Cowboys stacks, I would go Hockenson just because no one's going to be stacking the Goff, and hopefully you can get a touchdown out of Hockenson to differentiate yourself from the tight ends.
Like that. I'm also looking at just pick'em lines. Marquise Goodwin's all the way up there at 33.5 receiving yards. DeAndre Swift is getting at least 100.5 total yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, your boy, 31.5 receiving yards. I can't wait to dive into those tomorrow morning, even tonight when I get settled.
I think I'm ranking the Lions wide receivers, Josh Reynolds, number one, then Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Cleve Raymond. That's how they were ordered in routes. They all played on at least 20 of 25. So we were like really nitpicking, but this was Josh Reynolds' like first opportunity with the Lions. We should expect him to get more and more usage. They're all really bad. Like, they're at the point where you shouldn't even be drafting them in the battle royales because you only have to draft 24 players. But if I was just betting long term, I would go Josh Reynolds.
How do you feel about Darnell Mooney being the second wide receiver out of the Turkey? I mean, Stephon Diggs one, then Darnell Mooney's being drafted as the two. Obviously, this ADP will change with CeeDee Lamb and the news in the next 24 hours with him. But Michael Gallup, Hunter Renfrow, and then CeeDee Lamb. I mean, that's ahead of the Cole Beasley's and the Emmanuel Sanders of the world that we talked about at the top of the show.
Oh, I think he has to be. He's up to wide receiver eight fantasy usage over the last month. Allen Robinson's not going to play. We just talked about how Marquise Goodwin and Demir Byrd, these guys aren't NFL starters, and they're both low-volume guys, even if they were starters. And I think Darnell Mooney can win in both phases, and it's very clear, not just this year, but last year too, when the Bears are stuck in the mud, they dial up some opportunities for Darnell Mooney in the screen game. They'll move him into the slot a little bit, give him some nice clean matchups. And there is no such thing as a money matchup against the Lions. All of the corners are bad. And he got peppered with targets in the second half of the game when Andy Dalton came in. He had like the targets were, I got it here. Give me one second. 12 targets to Darnell Mooney, 5 targets to Marquise Goodwin, 3 to Jimmy Graham, 2 to Demir Byrd, and 1 to Cole Kmet. And that was like 12 of 24 targets went to Darnell Mooney with Andy Dalton. I think the reason for that is because he's the guy that wins underneath, and that's not Marquise Goodwin's game. That's not really Demir Byrd's game. And Andy Dalton is like the complete opposite of Justin Fields, who is ADOT is through the roof, and Andy Dalton's is much lower. So I think that Darnell Mooney is a fantastic play. And
love that.
I think the only argument that you can have for wide receiver two on the slate is if CeeDee Lamb is out, then Michael Gallup can kind of shoot up there. But otherwise, I don't see anything wrong with Darnell Mooney right now.
Is there anything else you want to cover before we get out of here? Any other strategies for battle royale? I mean, again, we mix in like a headline player and one that might be overlooked in a lot of these drafts. It's different than the typical one that has six people that you can just drafting against three other people. Anything before we get out of here, Hayden? Last chance.
So on Underblog, I have my Thanksgiving rankings, and I am definitely prioritizing Darren Waller. I think that Darren Waller's ceiling is just so much higher than Dalton Schultz and TJ Hockenson. So I think that he's being ranked pretty low because the draft lobby is set up by projected points. So obviously a tight end's not going to project that well, but it's tight ends over replacement, and the other replacement options I just don't think are very good. So to me, like, the best start would be going Josh Allen or Dak Prescott, and then being able to sneak in Darren Waller and then correlate the rest of your lineup with those quarterbacks. I think that's the best strategy. I have the running backs ranked ahead of the wide receivers for the most part, just because there's less really good running back options. There's like clear cutoffs because it's so many of these teams use bell cow running backs, and a lot of these wide receivers, there's like one or two wide receivers for each team. So I'd rather roll the dice and draft my running backs early and then filter out with correlation the wide receivers at the end.
Cool. All right. Go and check out that column if you are going to draft. And there's no reason not to. Deposit match we have on Underdog right now. One of our best promotions of the entire season. Whatever you put in, we are going to match it. It's not just for new users. It's for all of you loyal people that check us out here on Sundays, on Tuesdays, and on Thursdays as well. It'll be automatically fulfilled on our end. So go ahead and do that. Hayden's wallet will be a little more thin come this Sunday. I know.
Brutal.
Shake your head. Go and put it on Pick'em. Again, hit five correctly, you get 20x your money. 10 bucks turns into 200. Or go and try these battle royales that we keep talking about. I have a blast with them. We do a lot of them in-house every single week before, you know, the slate rolls around on Sundays. And if you've never tried them, give it a chance. Give it a try one time, and you'll really, really enjoy them. Especially if you played DFS in the past. It's a different way of doing it because obviously you're creating your team through a draft.
Yeah, a couple other little things. If you know you're going to be busy on Thanksgiving and you want to spend time with your family, no. Battle Royale is the one to play because you don't have to worry about late swaps. If you're playing the salary structured and stuff, you have to sit there. And if you're not late swapping, you're punting money. So if you know you're going to be busy on Thanksgiving, fire up a Battle Royale. There is no late swaps. You're good to go on that front. I got to ask you one question before we get out of here. Who's winning the Battle Royale this week? Is it the Dak Prescott stack or is it the Josh Allen stack? We got to make this decision.
I think it's the Josh Allen stack because Dak and the Cowboys, to me, are much more likely to get home with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard on the ground than the Bills will be to put points through their running backs and funnel points through there. Make sense?
Yep. I think like if you can somehow swing Josh Allen and then get Zeke and you kind of play both worlds where you get the Bills stack, but you got the touchdown equity without Dak Prescott, that's like the complete net play. I'm with you. I rank Josh Allen ahead of Dak Prescott. I think if CeeDee Lamb plays, that gets much closer. But certainly you got to prioritize those two. I think I would go the Bills stack. And
okay.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Here's my question. Since it's four person drafts, and we really will get out of here after this one, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, and Derek Carr almost certainly with the three top quarterbacks drafted. Who's the fourth one that fourth team should draft? Is it Andy Dalton? Is it Trevor Siemian? Is it Jared Goff? Or should you go on a huge ledge and go Taysom Hill there?
I think I'm going Andy Dalton, and just the easiest matchup. He's at least we've seen ceilings from him. I think Trevor Siemian could easily get benched, and I'm not dealing with Jared Goff with this oblique injury. Like I don't deal with Jared Goff with a fully healthy oblique.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's got to be Andy Dalton. You at least can get Darnell Mooney. I will say, just like as a reminder, if you're the last to draft the tight end or you're the last to draft the quarterback, do not draft them in the fourth round. Draft them in the last round. I see this happen literally every single draft that I'm following. It's the easiest thing to avoid. If you're punting the quarterback spot, like legitimately punt it.
There is no better time to try Underdog again than on Thanksgiving. And I'll save this for the end, a little special for all of you. If you're a referring new user, since you're going to be around your family, you get a free $25 in your account too.
Yep.
So share your link to them. If they sign up using your link, which you can find in your profile, then boom, $25. That's even on top of the free deposit match. Whatever you put in, we give to you as well. We love giving. You give to us. We give back. Okay. That's going to do it for us. As I mentioned, like and subscribe. It's a smaller audience this week, so the more you can help us out by smashing the like button, by smashing the subscribe button, it truly does mean a lot to us. And we'll be back with our usual two shows on Sunday. 10 a.m., we start off with Start Sits, taking your phone calls with Animal, and then I'll hop on, hopefully with Hayden, around 11 a.m. Eastern, go for an hour and a half, help you find those important decisions that are game-changing, week-winning for all of you in your lineups, and talk about a few matchups along the way. And yes, we're back with the 7:30 show, instant reactions. All right, that's going to do it for us. Hayden, hope you have a lovely time.
You too, man.
All right. Up the Villa, everyone. Thanks for being here in the chat. We appreciate you. Talk to y'all soon. See ya.